Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
This episode of EU Startups Podcast is brought to you by Vanta. Are you building a business? Achieving compliance with frameworks like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 can help you win bigger deals, enter new markets, and deepen trust with customers. But this can also cost you real time and money. Vanta automates up to 90% of the work for the most in-demand frameworks, helping businesses get compliant quickly. And with over 300 integrations, you can easily monitor and secure the tools your businesses rely on. Join over 7,000 fast-growing companies that use Vanta to manage risk and prove security in real time. To learn more about how Vanta works and to get 20% off, visit vanta.com/EU Startups. That's vanta.com/EU Startups. Now, kick back and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Janneke Nissen. Janneke is a serial entrepreneur, angel investor, board member and mentor for startups, and co-founder of Capital T, a VC fund that invests in technology companies using proprietary technology to evaluate entrepreneurial teams. Janneke has started and exited two international tech companies. She is a co-initiator of Inspiring 50, an initiative that aims to increase diversity in tech by making female role models more visible. As part of the Inspiring 50 initiative, Janneke has published The New Girl Code and Project Prep, a novel for young girls, with the goal of the project to encourage young girls, inspiring them to pursue a career in technology. Janneke was named EY Entrepreneur of the Year in 2014, Most Innovative Leader in 2016, one of the 10 most prominent angel investors in 2018, and Harper's Bazaar Woman of the Year in 2019. And the list goes on. Everyone, please give it up for the one and only Janneke Nissen. Janneke, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for taking the time. Welcome.
Well, thanks for having me. I was very much looking forward to this podcast.
Awesome. Janneke, so let's kick things off. Every entrepreneur has some kind of a start button. What motivated you to push yours? And if, you know, we were having a casual tech talk and taco session, what hottest moments from your journey would you share over a plate of delicious tacos?
What pushed me? I don't know. From very young age, my dream was always to start my own company. I thought it was magical to build something from scratch and to be the boss of that and to create something what other people wanted. So I don't know where that comes from. It has always been a part of me. And in terms of hot stories, I mean, there's so many. If you're an entrepreneur...
The ones you can share, right?
Yeah. Well, I think I can share most of them, just not name too many names. But no, there's so many like crazy things you experience as an entrepreneur. I think everybody can agree to that. But a really crazy moment fairly early in my career was when we were meeting up with a partner. And they invited us for drinks after the meetings. And then we went to a very fancy hotel lobby and some employees of them joined. And then apparently the CEO was annoyed by one person. So he got fired on the spot. And when more drinks involved, we were invited to a hotel room and we were like, okay, let's leave now. So that turned out to be like a really crazy evening, which we thought was just having a nice evening with good business partners for our fund. And we were speaking to somebody who's has invested in a lot of venture capital funds. So he is known with the asset class and he likes the risk profile. He listened to our story and then said, yeah, I'm really sorry. I can't invest because I'm a real man. And a real man like numbers and women don't. So we were like, okay. Yeah.
No,
what can you say? So it's, well, I would say so I could share crazy stories for hours, I would say.
Yeah, there's so many. I can see that. Janneke, so having started and exited to international tech companies, then you transitioned from, you know, being a founder to fueling the dreams of others through Capital T.
Yeah.
How has your journey as an entrepreneur influenced your approach as an investor?
I would say a lot, because I've been there. I know what it's like. And I know that even when from the outside things look very great, that often is not the case. When you're an entrepreneur, every day is firefighting. You never have enough money, never have enough people. It's always, always things go wrong. And so I really try to keep that in mind when we speak to entrepreneurs. Always ask how they are doing, because it is very tough. There's a lot of pressure on you, and the well-being from the entrepreneur is very important for us. We also try to be realistic towards our expectations, and because I've had discussions with investors that said like, yeah, but if we change this and this cell in the Excel sheets, everything looks much better. And I'm like, yeah, but the reality doesn't change because we change an Excel sheet. So I think it's these kind of things, the fact that you've gone through it, you've had the really hard moments, you've had also the good times, I think are really helpful in our interactions with founders. And also, I don't think we overestimate our own contributions we can have. I think being there and being one phone call away and making introductions and giving them advice are really helpful. But at the end of the day, it's the founders that need to do it. They are the ones that are there. And I think sometimes VCs overestimate their impact and the way they are helping. Of course, the money is necessary and it's definitely an enabler. But in the day-to-day, it's 98%, I would say, the founders that are doing it.
Awesome. By the way, at Capital T, you guys are using a proprietary technology to evaluate entrepreneurial teams.
Yeah.
So it's like having a secret investment sauce. Can you unveil a bit of the recipe and share its impact on the investment decisions?
Yeah. So Eva, the other partner at Capital T, she did her PhD on this topic, and she created this model, and then we're using my experience, and that's how we evaluate the teams. It's actually quite interesting in our opinion that in an industry that's very data driven, when it comes down to team that everybody agrees on is the most important thing, that that is mainly our gut feel driving the decisions. And a gut feel has a lot of pattern matching, stereotypes, bias, so it's not always the best advisor. So we try to overlay our gut feel with facts and look more data-driven to these teams. We look at personality traits, and then only those traits that have a proven positive impact on venture success. So stress resistance, resilience, perseverance. We look at passion and grit. And grit obviously is crucial for any entrepreneur, but also passion, because that's also a big driver for your resilience and perseverance. Then we look at human capital skills, the more hard skills. So if there's startup experience in the team, failure experience, industry experience, those kind of things. And then the team dynamics. So is that the right team cohesion? Is there a shared vision? All these kind of things, that is a psychological safety within the team, the things that are really crucial for a well-functioning team, especially since 60% of founders of companies that fail due to issues with the team.
Right. I love it. That's such, like, everyone should be approaching things like that, right?
Yeah. And so
like, it sounds like so natural and so like logic.
Yeah. And how we use it is obviously when there's a lot of red flags, then we don't invest. And that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. But more often we use it to discuss with the team how things are going, if changes are necessary, and also to make them aware about the current situation and where they can improve. I mean, a team early stage, well, a team is never perfect, but you need to know where are potential issues so you can act on them. And it's very important to have the hard discussions like early on, because for example, accountability is crucial, but accountability is also very hard. When you're an early startup, everybody works hard and everybody is trying to do everything to make it successful. It's difficult to tell to others when they didn't do what they were telling they would do. Yeah. Like, why didn't you do it? Because you feel like, yeah, they worked really hard, but you still need to do it because first, maybe that person has too much on their plate. Maybe they work on the wrong things. Even more important, when you don't build this culture of accountability, then it will spread across the team when you grow, and that's killing.
Awesome. I love it, Janke. Let's talk about Inspiring 50. So Inspiring 50 is making waves in, you know, increasing the diversity in tech. How is it reshaping the narrative for women in the tech industry? And what inspired you to co-initiate such a powerful movement?
Yeah, for me, I'm a strong believer in the power of role models. So if you see other people doing things, then you're more likely to believe that you can do it as well. And we noticed in Europe, we were, and this is 10, 15 years ago, we were mainly in the media, we were mainly looking at male role models from the US, and then if there were any female role models, it were only also women from the US. So we were like, we should make the women in Europe more visible and basically give them a stage. So that's why we did that. And a side effect that we didn't anticipate upfront, but it also gave more confidence to the women that were selected. They felt like, hey, I can now say I'm doing great, and they felt more comfortable to be on stage and to speak up in the media. So yeah, that was an extra effect of that.
Awesome. And so the New Girl Code and Project Prep are kind of a part of this initiative, right?
Yeah.
So there is there are these books that you published that aim to inspire young girls, like kind of a literary mentor guiding them towards tech. So Janneke, picture this: it's bedtime, and you're narrating Project Prep to a group of eager kids. What's the most captivating part of the story that keeps them wide open, wide-eyed, open, and you know, dreaming of tech adventures? And what message from the book resonates with you the most?
Well, I think the most powerful from the book is that it's a role model they can relate to. And that's also the reason that that I wanted to create it, because what for me is a role model, for young girls, it's just an old person. So yeah. I wanted to create a role model they could relate to. And that's what engages them. And that's also the feedback we got through email. So, and that's the fun thing about doing these kind of things, you get fan mail. Which is pretty awesome, but so I think that's the most important thing, and the key message from the book is you can do anything, And what we see in tech very often, that girls feel like, oh, it's not for me, I can't do it. But they can. There's no reason they can't. And tech has a bad image often, specifically towards younger girls. And that's what we really wanted to change with that. So.
Amazing. I love it, like especially having a young daughter. Three-year-old daughter, I can't wait to read it to her and actually also like kind of empower her through that. So, Janneke, your research on investments in female entrepreneurs sparked discussions in parliament and, you know, legislative actions. What kind of changes do you hope to see as a result of these initiatives? And how can it reshape the landscape for women in tech?
Yeah, so we often refer to the US numbers about investments in male entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs, and mixed teams. And then everybody was like, yeah, but those are US numbers. And then we decided to create them for the Dutch ecosystem, and they were even worse. And I think that was just shocking for people, seeing like, hey, less than 2% of investments go to female founders. People were like, whoa, that's crazy. And luckily, a lot of people also think that shouldn't be the case. I think everybody agrees we should create a level playing field. And that's not about equal outcomes, but it's about giving everybody truly the same opportunities. And the dynamics of how you get to only 2% investment in female founders, I think there was a lot of discussion about that and how to change it. And quite a few VC funds in the Netherlands felt a partial responsibility to create a better ecosystem and a more equal ecosystem with a true level playing field. And that comes down to hiring within their own teams, the way they approach founders, the way they get that deal flow in. And that definitely led to some change. And if we look, and also some quota, if we look at our own portfolio, we don't have a quota or a target because we believe you don't need one. We believe that you need to remove all the barriers that there are in VC, that you have to make an effort to look at entrepreneurs outside your network, make sure that people, all entrepreneurs basically can find you. And when you look at that entire pool of entrepreneurs, then you pick the best ones. And if you pick the best ones, then you will automatically get a diverse portfolio. And in our case, that's true. Our portfolio now, half of them have a female founder, half of them have a founder of color. There's also other types of diversity that we measure. And I would say overall our portfolio is really diverse. And if you make a split to between the more successful ones, that's also there, the diversity is also reflective. So I think people miss out on a lot of amazing entrepreneurs. And if we look at our deal flow, we don't understand how you can manage to only invest in white men. We would not be able to do it. I mean, it's almost an accomplishment if you can.
It sounds hard actually to do, right?
How? There's so many incredible entrepreneurs, and there's also a lot of incredible white men that are entrepreneurs. But there's an incredible richness in diversity in entrepreneurs. So, and I think if you think about it, statistically, it's impossible that all the unicorn founders are in your network. So why do people still invest in people only in their network? It's just crazy if you think about it. Plus, also, if you look at entrepreneurs, they try to solve problems that they face themselves. And there's a lot of problems out there that need to be solved. So you need also a very diverse backgrounds in entrepreneurs to be able to do that. Otherwise, we end up with only productivity tools. And so many reasons to do it. But I think specifically from a VC perspective, if you want the best portfolio, I mean, you have to do it.
It has to be diverse. 100%. Yannick, love it. Very inspiring. And again, like very natural and very like logic. Like, how is it the opposite, or how do we even have to like change it or fight for it? It's crazy in and of itself. So, Janke, being named Harper's Bazaar Woman of the Year is, you know, among other awards, a recognition of your amazing impact and achievements. Again, what message would you like it to send to, you know, aspiring female entrepreneurs?
Well, I think everybody needs role models, and everybody can be a role model. And the first time that somebody told me like, "Oh, you're my role model," I was like, "Are you crazy? I'm just doing what I do." And I felt a little bit uncomfortable. And then later I was like, "Okay, don't be stupid. If this is what you can do for other people, then just embrace it." But I think everybody can have that role, smaller or bigger, because you will have kids in your, and young women in your surroundings. And that's just a lot you can do. And I think even if you can inspire one person, that's already amazing.
Janneke, you're talking so much about role models, and I love it. Can you tell us who has been, or like I don't know, probably there are many or maybe not, who has been your role model, that you, like a person you looked up to?
I think indeed there are many. There's quite a few people that I admire. One of our investors, who is an amazing entrepreneur herself, Corinne Vicreux. She's one of the founders of TomTom. And if you look at TomTom as a company, they've reinvented themselves so many times, and they are still super relevant. And I think people underestimate how difficult that is. If you look at companies today, they already think it's difficult to pivot once, and they have done it multiple times. So I think that's really incredible. Another role model, I think, is Shonda Rhimes, because I think the way she uses storytelling to address issues and to tell stories, I mean, it's so powerful, and I think she's doing that in a brilliant way.
Love it. I think I saw one time that you interviewed Corinne. I don't know, some time ago, but yeah, it was a
Atomico European State of Tech.
Yeah, exactly. I like the interview a lot. If you guys haven't seen it, please check it out. So, Janneke, having I know that you also had a photo shoot with Annie Leibovitz, which must have been an awesome experience. Can you share a behind the scenes snapshot, or like what was the story behind it?
Yeah, so I got approached on LinkedIn if I wanted to be part of the long list for a campaign of UBS who use real successful people instead of models. And first, I mean, I was skeptical, but then I started digging deeper, like, is the company legit? Who's asking? And is this true? And then I saw it was true, and that Annie was doing all the photo shoots for them. And I was like, oh my God, yes, I want to be on the long list. And then I got through several rounds, and then the shortlist, and then I was picked, and then they flew me business class to New York, and I got to pick my own hotel, and I had a chauffeur, and there were so many people on that set that day, people for the clothes. I had like 3 people for my hair, 2 for my makeup. I mean, it was just, yeah, it was for one day, it was like amazing. And everybody is telling you, you're so great, you're awesome. And I would get very tired of that after a while. But for one day, it was like really an incredible experience. And Annie is so nice and such a real professional. And I had the best day. It was awesome. And the picture is still here in my room. I'm looking at it now, and Annie's signatures on it. So yeah.
Amazing.
And then funny story to add, because that became part of a campaign in magazines, but also billboards on airports. So if anybody that ever travels to a London City airport, you have this escalator next to a big hall where there's always these advertising. And I was on there. So I wanted to make a picture with myself and that thing. And then the security guards came to me, were like, "Oh, you're not allowed to take pictures." And I was like, "Yeah, but that's me." And they were like, "Oh, that's great. We take the pictures." And so, yeah. Amazing.
Nice. That sounds amazing. Janke, let's switch gears, since we're already in this kind of fun mode. Let's switch gears to a bit of fun with a quick fire round to get to know you even better. So I'm going to ask you a quick question, and you just have to give me a quick answer to that, if that sounds good. So the question will be like, what's your fast favorite? What's your favorite tech gadget?
My phone.
Favorite food?
Italian.
Favorite place?
New York.
Favorite book?
Favorite book? Whew. Oh. Oh, what's the one of Shonda Rhimes called? I'm obviously blanking. I'm looking at my bookcase now. Oh, that's one of Shonda Rhimes. That's great. Mm. People should look it up and read it.
We'll find it. We'll find it. Which one is it? And add it. Go to karaoke song.
Yeah, I don't do karaoke, and it's better for everybody. I'm a horrible, horrible singer.
Okay, so favorite song.
Ooh, Flowers.
Nice. TV series.
Friends.
Awesome. And maybe the most unusual item on your office desk right now?
Oh, my office desk is very boring. There's nothing unusual. It's all very much focused on work stuff. Sorry. Very boring. I have nothing unusual.
Sounds awesome, Janke. Thanks so much for having this fun quick round with me. So maybe to kind of end it off, let's raise a virtual toast to the future. And what's the next, you know, trail you aim to blaze in the tech world? And any exciting new projects or initiatives that you've got going on?
Yeah, so obviously I want to make Capital T the most successful pre-seed fund in Europe. But then a new thing I'm working on, because I have noticed the power of storytelling through publishing the book. And my next dream that I'm working on is creating a streaming series, TV series. So I'm working on that. And my success KPI for that is an Emmy nomination. So
this is amazing.
That's my plan.
What can you tell? Can you tell us a bit more? Like, what the series will be about?
Well, it's very much in progress, but it's focused on a slightly older audience as the compared to the book. So more like 20-30, to inspire people to choose a career in tech and entrepreneurship, and not focus just on women and people of color, but with them in mind. And but I don't want to share too much, because I don't want to jinx it. If you see me on the Emmy red carpet in the next years, then you know it worked out.
I love it. I love it, Janke. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I enjoyed it a lot. Good luck with all the projects that you've got going on. And I'm really looking forward to see this TV series executed. And I wish you from the bottom of my heart to get this Emmy nominations for that.
Janke.
Yes. Thank you so much. All the best. and I hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you, likewise.